Okay, and then I shall begin. And now here's Gil.
You're muted, Gail.
Yeah, I suspected once I looked at this and saw so many red mutes on each person's portfolio there. So yeah, I loved it, Ed. Thank you so much. Just what was called forth, you literally gave up. So thank you so much. It was so grounding. And I had this, kind of a vision of a very dark background, but with lots of fireflies. They were just flitting around with the music, and just, it was very, very soothing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. So, are you all ready with your goals and dreams and desires and where the trajectory of your life would go this year, 2023? Oh, Bob says, yes, he knows. That's good. That's really good, right? And so this is part of, this is a two-part effort on my part. I'm going to have the first two sessions. So the next study group, I will also be doing this. But I decided that, in terms of how are we going to go about, bringing in all the, the visioning material, what are we setting forth as goals and so on. I think what I will do is to leave it up to you during the week or the next 2 weeks. But I'm going to lay a foundation in a sense as to, where our consciousness is, what is our consciousness drawing in, what is it that we are drawing in onto ourselves? What is it we desire? What is it that we seek to express? Or what is it that is seeking us, right? And a lot of the times we, because of our consciousness, we are in that space of intuition, of thought, of creativity, of ideas, of our dreams, right? And all of this is obviously from the one mind. The one mind is about all inclusive. There is nothing outside of the one mind. And so our book this year that we would be using from, and thanks to our amazing Judy, would be The Anatomy of Healing Prayer. And it is a fabulous book. I would encourage each person to have one so you could follow along. The reading is really, really good. And the chapter this for the first two sessions would be Consciousness of Unity, right? And so this is where we put ourselves in that space of what is it we are calling forth. So from the idea of where we are right here, right now, we know that in the beginning, there is always God, and there is God, right? That divine mind. We call that God nature. We call that God life. We call that God cause and effect. Whatever it is, we know that it's perfect, right? And, for me today, I would be calling that God life, right? And I know that in the beginning there was life, and that life was perfect. And because that life was perfect, everything in its path, everything in its entirety, the unity of it has to be perfect. And if that life is perfect, then my life is perfect. And so I am kind of starting to move into the category of not even thinking of unity and my life. I am thinking of life as the all, right? And that is the consciousness that I would like to encourage all of us to start moving into, that life is perfect, that life is my life now, and that life is God. That life is life. That life is divine, right? And so there can be no imperfect ideas. There can be nothing imperfect about our creativity and our imaginations, our dreams, right? So our life, our ideas, our creativity is the idea that is held in the mind of God, that is held in our lives, right? And so we gotta have to come, we have to not compare, but we'll have to make that decision that our life is perfect, our imagination is perfect, our creativity is perfect. So we're going on that premise that it is all always well, right? Always good. However, from the chapter, Ernest talked about, well, the person who compiled the papers, which is George Bendel, Ernest Holmes' papers, and Ernest did a lot of writing, right? He talked about one of the biggest danger to the practice of what we know, our philosophy, what we call our teaching, and Ernest was always worried about, is that idea of dualism, right? And so the basis of all healing has to do with the complete conviction of one undivided spiritual system, right? God in and as and through all, right? So therefore, what is known at one point is known at all points. If God is in one spot, God has to be in every spot. So I loved the statement that I, you know, grew up hearing in this teaching, that there is not a spot where God is not, right? However, how do we have our individuality? How do things look so separate and individualized, right? And I think that has to do with how our life is transmuted, right? How our lives changes, how the energy, we can call it energy as well, transforms or morphs into different aspects of itself. There is nowhere that God can be except in this here and now. And in this here and now, it metamorphosizes, or it changes, it moves around. That energy is just, you know, similar to the water or ice, right? Ice would definitely, you know, can melt, right? Does it mean that the energy of the ice is, you know, the idea of the ice is no longer water? Is it something completely different? And then maybe if you put, you know, you boil that water and it turns into steam, then is that the is that idea of water no longer steam, right? So I think it's about how, you know, life transmutes, how it changes. So let's keep that in mind as we you know, move into the consciousness of our creativity, of what it is that we are calling forth, right? So from page 13, I'm going to just read what he says here. Ernest always believed that the biggest danger to the practice of the teaching was the practice of dualism. The basis of all healing is the complete conviction of one undivided spiritual system. Therefore, what is known at one point is known at all points. So have you ever heard, and I say this a whole lot, I am one with God, right? I am one with God. It's kind of translated here by Mr. Bendel as I'm implying a separation so that we had to glue ourselves back to God, right? So a lot of us, including me, would usually use that statement. But I know from the standpoint, sometimes we do need that memory boost, right? And so we have to come back to that space. But a lot of the times we think that, oh my God, we've been so separated or so disconnected, which can never really happen. Another thing he talked about was positive and negative thinking, and implying two separate creative thought process, right? When really and truly, it should be just thought, right? And so we tend to judge from the expression, the outflow of our thinking that, oh my God, this is horrible, this is bad, it's negative, and then there's positive. So just keep that in mind, that that is also dualism, and we should look as thought, just as thought, creative thought, right? Because each thought has the power to create, whether we want it or not, okay? And then the other one is, I have to overcome this condition. Oh Lord, how many times do I say that to me or to my experiences, right? What is the implication here? The implication is that I have made the condition like something outside of me or a God that I have to now figure out how to deal with this, right? So I brought these three, examples just to show that, we really have, take things for granted in a sense where it's so easy to feel that we are disconnected. And as we move into our creative way of thinking, into our dream building, that we got to remember that it is not me and God, but me as God. I know a lot of people, including myself, at one point thought, oh my goodness, how dare you, right? But the how dare you, when we really look at the science of it, we look at how it really offloads and how it makes sense that if in the beginning is God and there is nothing else but God and that God is perfect, then who am I, right? I must be that. So let's come from that space, all right? So the other thing that I have noted in this book is that, that our consciousness starts by involution, and consciousness or pure spirit impregnates everything, all right? So this is the principle of involution, and then it is hidden in everything, all right? So Neville Goddard, he goes by the last name Neville, but he also talked from his book, Your Faith is Your Fortune, a really, really good book. He talks about the consciousness that is God, and that which is conscious is being or bearing witness of what is experiencing, right? So that idea of bearing witness, he kind of puts it as the Son bearing witness of the Father. So a lot of the times, you know, they would be very biblical and would, you know, speak from the scripture point of view, but makes sense when it comes, you know, sort of unravel it so that it makes sense for the idea of wholeness, right? That there is no separation, no Father, Son, no Holy Ghost, no three in one kind of thing, but yet it's all about unity. It's not separation, right? So he shared that, you know, we are the conceiver, right? The person that has the perception, but we are also greater than what we are perceiving, right? So the perception, you know, we are, you know, as the conceiver, we are greater than what we conceive, right? So from, you know, he also talked about, you know, just to make sense, and this made sense to me, that's why I kind of included that before Abraham was, I am, right? So in a sense that God was aware, or God was being, B-E-I-N-G, and before man, there was being. And, you know, there is that day when man passes on to the realm of being again, that he will stop being conscious of being man, but also be back in that big space of consciousness of being. So I kind of bring all these things so that you, you know, you could kind of understand my point of view, my perspective, that consciousness is not really dependent upon being anything. Consciousness just is. It is being, right? And so as we move into that idea of manifesting our dreams, manifesting our goals for 2023 and beyond, you know, we are in a very unique position because of our philosophy, or because of our teaching, to know that when we turn our attention to the thing we desire, it is not outside of us. It is not separate from us, as if we are going to target it and pull it in. And we got to remember that it is in us, as us already, right? So it's about transmuting the way, or transmuting our consciousness to bring the things that we desire into manifestation, into physical form, right? So, you know, Neville, in his book, Your Fate is Your Fortune, if you don't mind, if I could read this quickly, he says, to rise in consciousness to the level of the thing desired and to remain there until such level becomes your nature is the way of all seeming miracles. How cool is that? And he said, no man comes unto me except the Father within me draws him. And I and my Father are one. My consciousness is the Father who draws the manifestation of life to me. So the nature of the manifestation is determined by the state of consciousness in which I dwell. I am always drawing into my world that which I am conscious of being. And by the way, what I am conscious of being could sometimes be looking kind of dismal because we are coming from that space of limitation, coming from that space of, you know, questioning or not understanding. And sometimes we come from that limited world, right? And so we draw the things that we are really not wanting into our manifestation. All right, so he was saying, if you are dissatisfied with your present expression of life, then you must be born again. You know, rebirth is the dropping of that level with which you are dissatisfied and rising to the level of consciousness which you desire to express and possess. Right. So this is powerful, right? He also says, man cannot see how it would be possible to express that which he desires to be by so simple a law as acquiring the consciousness of the thing desired. The reason for this lack of faith on the part of man is that he looks at the desired state through the consciousness of his present limitations. Therefore, he naturally sees it as impossible of accomplishment. All right. So kind of keep that in mind, that, you know, what are the qualities of God? What are the qualities? What are the qualities of the things that you want to see happen in your life? And, you know, what, you know, so obviously we know that there is an abundance of qualities, including abundance, including, you know, all-knowing, including powerfulness, including, you know, grace, including love. There are so many beautiful and amazing qualities of God that we just need to get into that consciousness in order to attract the things we need, right? So, for example, me and my money, right? I am moving into that space of knowing that abundance, right? There are times when I remember and I go there, but do I remember all the time? I don't. And so I have to be in that consistent space. This year is what I'm telling myself. I am challenging me to stay in that space where I am feeling connected and always knowing that I am what it is I already desire. And there is nothing that I have to do in order to make it happen from an external sense, except to be in that idea, be in that space where I am being drawn to it, right? So I move into abundance. What is it? What is abundant about what I want and that? What are the abundance that I can see that reminds me, that gives me that refresher that, hey, you don't have to go far. Look at this, all abundance, right? So that's part of me becoming, dependent upon the idea of my existence, that idea of who I am already is, all right? And so there are, you know, Michael Beckwith talked about the idea of, four things that truly remind us about where we are in life, right? His ideology is God in us, to us, you know, the same idea of God in and through all things, right? But he kind of broke it down in a way where it made sense to understand from the idea of spirituality. So those four things were, you know, life happening to me, right? Which kind of puts me in a victimhood, because it says that something outside of me is happening to me, is causing my life to not work, right? And that, he said, puts us in that victimhood manner. Then he moves us into that space of, well, when you move up a level or more, life happening by me, right? So the by me generally is that time where we kind of look at the idea of, oh my goodness, there is a parking space. I manifest it and I'm going to go for it, right? So by me is the manifesting stage. And that's a very, you know, it's a powerful stage as well. But it literally moves us from the place of emotional suffering and feeling out of control when we think it's happening to us. Something out there is causing it to happen and not, you know, really taking that full responsibility that it has to move into a space of manifesting. So we are feeling more empowered and we are beginning to feel that we are seeking more control and beginning to move into something higher. Then he also talked about the idea of through me, right? This is moving, you know, into that higher consciousness stage, right? And the through me, which we now become channels, right? We are manifesting by just moving into that idea of attracting things, right? You know, most people become very successful in this through me stage because it is just more than manifesting. We really learn how to channel things, right? And so as you move into that space or that experience of power, and I'm going to close off in a little bit, as we move into that place of power, we are feeling a lot more empowered. We stop judging. We look at our experiences from a different level. And we are knowing that life is always happening for me, not to me. It's a big difference, right? So as I channel my way through, it manifests. And then that fourth stage is really knowing that, hey, through my spiritual growth, as I start to realize one stage could lead to another. And of course, no judgment. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, you are existing. You are that being finding your way to higher and higher states or levels of consciousness. But the fourth stage, which is the as me, I am living or producing, or I am really showing up with the things that I need because it's happening as me. So the as me is the highest form in a sense of, let's say, those spiritual gurus, those what he calls avatars, spiritual avatars, or, you know, mystics, right? They are very, very God focused, very God consciousness focused. And, you know, it's a beautiful stage to be in because one can begin to feel very complete unity with God. And that is also a stage where, you know, it's easy to understand and it's easy to have concern about success or even achievement. That is not even a big part of the process any longer because, you know, you really know that you are that divine spark. You are that divinity that you really are, right? So I just encourage you all as we move into a short break, that, you know, sometimes moving and recognizing what works and maybe what doesn't work for us can be the key to opening doors to seeing or to understanding more of our creativity. Know that there is nowhere you need to go. Know that consciousness is a spiritual law, and we have to know that in order to acquire the things we desire. We have to be the thing. We have to be in the consciousness of the thing, right? And so the last thing is that we, from Ernest Holmes, you know, what we believe, I think he mentioned that we believe in that direct revelation of truth, right? That our intuition and our spiritual nature are the reasons why we be, why we are the revealers of truth, right? And so we also will reveal those truths to others who are definitely in that idea or in that close contact within the, with our indwelling God, right? So we just know that in order to be in a consciousness of receiving, of knowing, of understanding our spiritual nature, that any one of us could be that. Why? Because there is no none of us. There is no other of us. There is only one of us. There is only unity. And in the unity, we are in a space of empowerment. We are in a space of love. We are in a space of perfection. So go open up your idea and your hearts and your mind and be in that space of, it's already here.